You're listening to the Remorseless Podcast. Hey guys, what's up? It's Beth Fisher. Thank you for joining me today for episode number 15. I cannot believe it has been 15 episodes plus some other chasers on the side. If any of you are listening to the Remorseless Marriage series, which I highly advocate you to do. So here's the thing. We are today, episode 15, talking about all things people, which, as some of you also may know, is my favorite thing to dive into, depending on the day. Sometimes people just get on my nerves, as I'm sure they do yours and everybody else's on the planet, right? People are loving and kind and also jerky and annoying. And that is the story of humanity. That's the story of the human existence. People are complex and interesting and a whole slew of other adjectives, but mostly just complex, irrational, kind of hard to figure out. Could go a lot of ways, right? So on this episode, I am going to dive into the disciples because there were 12 of them. So if we're going to like jump off and talk about people, you know, I think we should start with an even dozen. What's really interesting to me about the disciples is the way in which they were assembled by Jesus as a team. Team dynamics are crazy, you guys. So take organizational and, you know, behavioral culture as an example. You can go into any sort of workplace and see the dynamics of a team and just go, this is also kind of crazy. I mean, that's why books are written, right? Patrick Lencioni writes a book, I think it's called The Five Dysfunctions of a Team. I'm like, only five? You know, look at your familial team, look at your families and your structure, look at your friendships and those teams, look at your workout teams, look at teams in general. And they are all, I know, shocker, comprised of people. So that is where we're going today, to take a look at maybe what Jesus might have been thinking when he assembled the 12, because it's kind of a motley crew. And so are we. So buckle up, sit back, dive in, do whatever you need to do to kind of calm down and chill yourself while we go into episode number 15. Okay, let's go. Okay, you guys, Matthew chapter 10, let's read it. The 12 apostles. And he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. The names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon, the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. So him was obviously Jesus. I'm reading from the ESV, as I often do. You guys know I also love to go to different translations of scripture and just to kind of see the differences. And one of the things that I want to start out with is to let you know that scholars also disagree on some of the attributes that we're going to talk about in the way of the disciples. So there's not always a consensus, just like there is not always an actual total agreement or alignment with different translations of scripture. So you may hear people say things like, well, is the Bible inerrant? Inerrant means, is it without any sort of errors at all? And that answer is no, because people actually transcribed it. Now, does it mean that it is in agreement? Absolutely. Scripture is inerrant insofar as it is in agreement with itself, with the story, with God's purpose, with God's intent, with the 66 books of scripture from Genesis to Revelation, weaving through the incredible unconditional love story of God sending his only son, Jesus, to die for us so that we can have eternal salvation. That's the story of scripture, you guys. That is it. So I don't want you, any new believers out there, to get hung up on, well, it says this in this book or this translation, or there are four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. The first three are called synoptic gospels. And I don't want you to get hung up on, well, it says this in Matthew, but it says this in Mark. It says this in Matthew, but it says this in Luke. You'll find that. There are transcribed differences, transcribed discrepancies, because you have to also understand, you guys, that when scripture was written, the people that were writing it, as an example, we just read Matthew, right? So Matthew is one of the 12. Matthew's one of Jesus's 12 disciples. Matthew was writing at a particular time to a particular audience. It's the same thing with every book in scripture, right? So we have to understand the author of the 66 books of scripture, each one of those 66 books, who wrote it and to whom they were writing. So it's no different than if somebody today in our lives was writing a book to you or me, or even just a chapter, right? And they said, I really want you to understand this point. So today they might write a book about social media, or this is what I'm really trying to get you to understand. We understand that today in our day and age, because this is where we are today in our day and age. And God made us with exactly perfect timing so that we are living as we are right here, right now. That's not different than when the disciples lived. They had a purpose too. Every single human being that God wove together had perfect timing to walk the earth with a perfect purpose and intent to fulfill his plan, right? To bring God glory, to fulfill his greater plan that we oftentimes don't see until later on. We see little bits of our plan in our lives revealed, but we certainly don't see the big picture. That's where faith comes in, and a whole lot of other amazing things on this relational journey with God that we're on. So again, I want to remind you that as we dive into the disciples today, I don't want you to get hung up on the fact that, you know, it might say one thing in one of the four gospels, but say something different about the individuals in another book of the gospels, because even their names are different. So the whole point of what I'm trying to kind of go down the path here with you today is about teams. I think it would be interesting to take a look at how perfectly Jesus put this team of 12 disciples together. I mean, did you ever think about that? They're just people. When I teach scripture, a lot of the times, especially to people who've never read it or maybe have heard it from a very biased lens or perspective, maybe they come to the Bible with their own presuppositions like we all do. We all have sort of our own experiences that inform the way that we read the Bible. But when I teach to new believers or people that have never picked up a Bible before, I'll say, you know what? The people that you're reading about here in the Bible are just people. They're people that just came many, many, many years before we did. But they had the same hurts. They had the same insecurities. They had the same sort of human experiences that we do. It just looked very different culturally. It looked very different from their environment and their technology and their worlds and their family, all the structures, right? It just looked different because humanity had not yet evolved to the point where we are today in 2021. So if we look at it from the standpoint of humans, this is really what interests me about the 12 disciples. And I wrote them down as a cheat sheet just to make sure that I, you know, don't lead you astray in terms of their names. But Simon Peter is always named first. So couple things to note too, the New Testament's written in Greek. So Simon is Peter's Greek name. And, you know, Simon Peter has what I will call sort of a, if any of you are familiar in corporate America with a DISC profile, a D-I-S-C, it's sort of a personality test, if you will, that identifies kind of how you lead or how you go about being on a team. Peter is a high D. Why do I know that? Because I'm a high D, which is a driver, somebody who is very vocal, very passionate, very loving inside at their core, but maybe a little bit rough on the exterior and sort of just calls it like he sees it, right? And so if you know scripture, Peter's the one who said, yes, you know, Jesus, I'm going to chop this guy's ear off, right? The guard who's coming at you. And Jesus is like, no, we're not going to do an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, because now, you know, we're in the New Testament here. I'm here, Jesus says. So Peter, chill out. Peter's also the guy that said with the same makeup of who he is, I don't know who Jesus is. He denied him three times. So how can somebody who is so much a fervent defender of Jesus, right? Passionate about who Jesus is, who he was, went to kind of battle verbally with other people about who Jesus was. How can the same guy deny him? Well, he was human. We have flaws, right? We have hot buttons. We have triggers. We have pasts. We have hurts. We have experiences. But Peter was also always, in all the Gospels, the first guy mentioned on the team of the 12 disciples. He was kind of the leader. In fact, his other names mean rock. So on this rock, I will build my church. That's what Jesus said. And, you know, Peter led the disciples, but it doesn't mean he was more important. So when you take a look at the dynamics of a team, it doesn't mean that somebody has more clout, more importance, certainly not more of God's love, because we're all made with equal mattering and value and worth and unconditional love from God. But it does mean that we're made with purpose. It does mean that God assembles each of us for his glory, for his purpose, so that we can be where we are in those moments to work out his plan and help do our part for that plan to come to fruition. Do we know what it is all the time? Of course not. Do you know what it is all the time when you walk into your job on a Monday and say, oh my goodness, my team or my direct reports? Or maybe you are somebody who's a part of a team and you have a lot of people up the food chain to report to. Maybe it's not work. Maybe it's your familial team. You know, you're a member of a team somewhere in life. It's your family, it's your neighbors. You know, you are part of a larger structure of people, of humanity. And so Peter, this is the other thing that's interesting about this, you guys. It's named, the 12 disciples are named in twos. Simon Peter and Andrew were brothers. They're named first. If we go back here, it says the names of the 12 apostles are these. First Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. Okay, those guys go together. The next thing that it says is James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. There are actually three sets of brothers of the 12 disciples. So six of the 12 disciples are brothers, three sets. And then it says Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus. They were brothers, actually, because Thaddeus is actually Jude. Another name. We talked about that, right? And so Simon the Canaanite and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. So when you guys look at the list of the 12 disciples, you will always see Simon Peter named first and Judas, who betrayed Jesus, last. So let's just take the bookends, first and last. Simon that we talked about, right, who is this sort of vocal, gregarious, loud, rough exterior leader, soft heart, but just kind of a right bull in a china shop. And then Judas, who completely, as we know, betrayed Jesus for money. So what can we learn about the dynamics of a team if we just take the example of Peter and Judas? Why would Jesus assemble a team comprised of very different personality types? Well, first of all, for a team to function, you have to have those. But if we, you know, we often look at scripture and we read it through the lens. We have the privilege of reading the Bible and knowing how, right, the rest of the story plays out. Just like right now in your life, you don't exactly know the next thing that's going to happen. Well, in 20 years, you will. You can look back at today and say, oh, now I know. Now I can read. Same thing in scripture. Now you can go back and read. But they didn't know in the moment, just like we don't know in the moment. So do you think the 11 other disciples knew that Judas was going to betray Jesus? I mean, maybe. Maybe they had a gut feeling. Do you have a gut feeling about members on your team? Possibly, right? But why do you think that Judas Iscariot, who absolutely betrayed Jesus, was a part of that team? Well, I think it might have something to do with the fact so that it doesn't come as a surprise or a discouragement to us when the best team has just a completely gigantic breakdown, a scandal, if you will, right? So what about when we look at other teams? And again, I'm saying team could be other families, could be neighbors, could be other structures that function similarly to yours, but have different people comprising them. What if you think that you are absolutely, as a member of your team, doing everything the right way, and then you say, well, because over here, this team kind of assembled in the same regard, they're doing it this way. And then this team has a complete scandal. Somebody completely betrays the whole purpose of the team. How does that leave you feeling? How does it leave you wondering and questioning? Afraid, right? Possibly afraid, saying, is this going to happen to our team? But I think that what Jesus is doing in assembling the 12 disciples, Judas included, is saying, you know what? It's not perfect. It's not perfect. And I don't expect you to be perfect. I expect you to be you. Jesus says, I knew you before I made you. Therefore, he knows exactly how you're wired. You think Jesus didn't know that Peter was this gregarious guy and that, as an example, Matthew's a tax collector, okay? Well, in the day, tax collectors were not very well respected. In fact, people did not like them. They equated tax collectors as like crooks, right? Thieves collecting money. But Matthew was very different in his personality type than Peter. Matthew had the ability to use pen and paper. A lot of the disciples were fishermen. Matthew wasn't. He was a tax collector. Matthew could put pen and paper together. And what did he do? He wrote the first book of the Gospels, the book of Matthew. So he has very different giftings. And what I want to ask you is, how would your team look if everybody in it, on it, functioned exactly like you did? Exactly in the same thought process, in the same delivery, in the same giftings and skill sets that God gave you, what if they were all the same? Would anything get done? I don't think so. And I don't think the 12 disciples would have gone out to the ends of the earth in the manner that they did either if they all functioned, well, like Judas, right? What if they all betrayed Jesus? Then no good would come, right? They would not have gone out and done the work that they did on behalf of the Lord, right? That's not what would have occurred if they all functioned like Judas. You know, I have been in the working world for a lot of years, like 26 years or so. And sometimes I was a part of a team. And right now I actually have a team of folks. And it's interesting to me how very different they function, how very different we all function, and how important it is to make every member on that team feel valued, feel heard, feel like they matter and they're contributing to the overall goal of the team. If that doesn't happen, you start to have some very discontented team members who don't feel special and who then sort of just by extension bring down the other team members in the way of their sense of worth and value to the overall goal. So that's what we're called to do, you guys, as Christians. We are members of a very, very important and large Christian team. That's who we are, especially here at Life Network for Women, right? We are all here bringing our different skill sets and abilities and ways that we deliver messages. That's the beauty of it, because we all have the same overarching goal. We are all definitely on the same team. We are all brothers and sisters in Christ. But the way that we convey that message is different, and it should be different. The people that I'm going to reach are not going to be the people that other people on the team are going to reach, and that is okay. God designed it that way. So I just want to encourage you, don't ever feel discouraged or disappointed if another team is functioning differently than yours, or if you are not doing something in the same manner that somebody else is. Good. You're not supposed to. You're supposed to be you. You're supposed to, at all times, always, be exactly who God created you to be so that you can go out and fulfill the greater goal. Like, God is the best leader that I can think of. Jesus led by example. He walked the earth and led by example so that we can follow. And what I'm saying is, if you go to Matthew chapter 10 and you read about the disciples, you read the way that they were put together and assembled, it was in twos, right? So the way that scripture reads is Simon, Peter, and Andrew, James, and John, right? They bring them together. The text says two by two, kind of like the animals in the ark. I think that also means we're not supposed to not be members of a team. We are not meant to be isolationists. We're not meant to not be in community. We're meant to go alongside one another, to come alongside one another, to uplift one another as part of the greater collective team of the body of Christ. So I hope this encourages you today to show up on your journeys and be exactly who God created you to be at this moment, right here, right now. You weren't born thousands of years ago, neither was I. Some days I look like that, but feel like that. But we're here, we're living, breathing, acting in the place in time where God exactly designed us to be, right? In scripture, although it's closed, the canon is closed, it's living and breathing and active, and we are all very much members of this team. So I hope it encourages you each to keep showing up just as you were designed to be, to know that your place on this team matters, and to know that you have value and worth and skill sets that help other team members on their journeys too. So thank you for joining me today, you guys. Keep being remorseless. And again, I just encourage you every single day to be right where you are in those moments and help bring others to Christ. And so I hope this encourages you to be exactly who God created you to be, to know that you are members of a greater team, right? That every single thing that you do, every single day on your journey matters for those around you. It matters as a team member, as a team player. It matters in your own journey of growth and transformation and change. So that is what I'm about, you guys. I'm about helping others on their journey, traverse difficult situations, to stop with imposter syndrome, to stop wondering who God made them to be, who God made you to be. And instead, I help people to say, you know what? At my job, this is exactly who I am. And this is why my contribution to this team matters. I am a leader. I am like Simon Peter, or I am very quiet and very analytical and very data-driven like Matthew, right? There's nothing more that I enjoy than helping people decide to live authentically into the creation that God made them. So if I can help you on your journey, please reach out to me. I'm at bethfisher.com. You can go check out coaching opportunities. You can check out how to be remorseless, which means without guilt in spite of wrongdoing. So you might be a member on a team who is functioning just from the place of guilt. Like, well, I'll feel guilty if I don't do this. No, there's more to the picture, you guys. There's more to showing up every day and living under the burden of expectations. That's not who God made us to be. God didn't make us to be people who are stifled or who are pretending to be people that we are not. The disciples knew their charge. They knew their place on the team. Didn't mean they were without guilt or without fault. It just means that they were assembled by God to carry out his purpose. So I just encourage you to do the same. And again, thank you for joining me here today on Remorselessly Biblical, and I'll see you all next week.
And let me tell you what I also encourage you guys to do. Get the episode right. This was episode 16. I am losing my marbles over here, you guys. Originally I said, hey, thanks for joining me on episode 15. I can't believe it's been 15 episodes. Yeah, it's actually been 16. Time flies when you're having fun, huh? Okay. Join me next week. I'm super excited for this Remorseless Marriage series. No holds bar, all kinds of marital advice and information and dirt. And yes, I've been married 3 times. So is my husband, and he is my first guest. So if you guys have not tuned into that, check it out on the Remorseless Podcast. Okay, catch you next week.